News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
All right, let's get hour three started here. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And we'd be happy to talk with you on the phone line, 343-0106. Dr. Bill gave us a good weekend weather scale, and weekend looking really nice for Mother's Day. Really quickly, a couple things if you're looking for something to do this weekend. The Gulf Coast Hot Air Balloon Festival is at Owa and Foley through Sunday.
And that's the noise of the fire thing.
Perfect.
You like that?
I was actually kind of worried. Thought I was in a hot air balloon all of a sudden. You know, one thing I'm looking at here, so they have a full schedule. Daredevil Dog Show. Is this like a... Are they
from the balloons?
I hope not. That's what I'm wondering. Daredevil Dog Show in the park. They're either going to be jumping from balloons or doing some Evel Knievel-like stunts. Like, watch this dog jump this school bus.
Dog stunts.
Sounds pretty awesome.
You just put a cape on the dog, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think, no shooting a dog out of a cannon.
I would hope not.
Okay.
It'd have to be a very special dog in order to do that. So that's going on. And then I also saw, Sean, would you say you're more of a Nina, a Pinta, or a Santa Maria guy?
Santa Maria all the way.
Oh, yeah. Well, unfortunately for you, fortunately for the rest of us, Christopher Columbus's Pinta is docked in Bayou La Batrie right now.
How is the worst of the ships?
It's not the actual one. You know?
You don't say. You don't say.
It's a replica one.
The Pinta was the Pinta was the one that they barely could get running.
Yeah, like it had to be towed halfway across the Atlantic.
It was the third car. When families have a third car, because, you know, you're always trying to keep that one, like, that's the one that's not running. It's running for a while, and then...
They put all the annoying people in the Pinta.
That's right, because the cool kids were in Santa Maria.
Of course, yeah. So that will be docked behind St. Margaret's Catholic Church in Bayou La Batrie through May 9th. So very cool. They've got a website, ninapinta.org, and you can find out more about it. But that seems like something that would be right down Mr. Sean Sullivan's alley.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to get. I like the real thing more than anything. Those of you new to it, I'm kind of a history. I know I am a history freak. I love that. I think you learn a lot. I mean, as a grown up, and for sure when I was a kid, and for my kids, when you go to a fort and walk through it, or go on a ship and walk through it, or do like physically stand where something happened or something that looks the same. One of the great things about like the Civil War battlefields that they keep them looking like they were at the time of the battle, which means cutting down trees, doing things like that, keeping places open that were open, and you can get perspective. I like all that stuff.
I
would go get on a replica ship of even the Pinta.
And really, I think it's important, you know, not to go off on a bit of a tangent, but I think it's important for kids to see what things were like.
Yes.
Kids and adults, really.
Yes.
To see, you know, put yourself in somebody else's shoes, even if they lived a few hundred years ago.
Well, you can read it. I encourage first to read about it, study these things, but and not everybody learns the same way, but I was one of those that I could read and was a voracious reader and learn about all these things. But then, like, even if it's a replica, you kind of go through, I don't know, it just helps me learn, helps me retain things.
So, you know, it was a busy day, busy week in Montgomery.
Got that right.
In Goat Hill. And we've talked quite a bit this morning about the gambling bill stalling out. They even tried for a last minute. I've been saying switcheroo. I guess it kind of was with the, you know, you had the three-headed gambling bill, which would have included lottery, casino gaming for a certain number of casinos, and also sports betting. And that was going nowhere after, you know, weeks and weeks of debate. So the GOP, the Republicans in the House last night tried to put out a clean lottery bill. And the Democrats and some Republicans weren't happy with that kind of last minute shuffle.
But a straight up lottery bill is what would pass the people's vote very easily.
Yeah.
The straight-up lottery bill does not pass the vote of the legislature that matters, because there's not enough goodies with it. And there's questions, special interest in Montgomery that don't want to let that go through, because it either greenlights something they don't want, or it keeps them from participating in something that they would like to do.
I think that lottery would get a good vote from the Alabama people.
All the gambling, you could bring the whole package as Del Marsh brought it. It would have made it through on a constitutional amendment. I'll tell you. But lottery, because anybody who has issues about gambling, they don't feel lottery's really gambling. It's the wine spritzer of the gambling world, right?
Right.
So it's like alcohol, but it's just a little. Lottery is what carries all the rest of it through. So it's not that if somebody at the legislature says we're mad because they brought this clean lottery bill up in a switcheroo, it's because the things that they want
aren't included.
Exactly. So that's just okay. Now you finish the story, but we just got to do it honestly.
Well, yeah, and I think lottery, you know, that's even in polling last year that some polling organizations would do, they weren't even asking about casino gaming or sports betting in Alabama. They were specifically asking about lottery because that was the main appetite, it seemed, for Alabama people. But even in this three-headed monster, I don't think people had an issue or legislators with the sports gaming and how that would have been allowed online. You could have it's so similar to the daily fantasy sports that the sports gaming that would have just come right in and been online only. And I think that they could have I know they upped the tax to 23% on that on one of the later amendments. I think that would have been good, too. It all came back down to who got to hold casinos and who didn't. And that, to me, seemed to be the killer in this bill. So now they either figure it out and have something to vote on May 17th, the final day.
Not going to happen.
It doesn't seem like that. Or special summer session part two with Governor Ivey, because they will have to have a special session for redistricting.
Yeah, that's going to be in August.
You see this on the way, the special gaming session?
I think there's a chance of it. I also will say that I will critique it if they do not tackle the issue of how to pay for prisons and how to deal with that and how the mechanism's going to work. If they do gaming before figuring out how to avoid a federal receivership of our prison system, I'm not going to be quiet about it. Not because, and once again, I'm for people having the right to vote on gaming. That's cool. Vote on gaming. I guess I'm pro gaming or I'm pro the liberty. I don't gamble, but
pro
like
liberty.
I'm pro liberty, like on most things. But if you're looking at a list of priorities, like you do in your family life and work life, it seems like dealing with this prison issue should be a higher. Like you got to pay the house note before you buy the whatever the jumpy thing for the backyard. I mean, there's certain things that are more important.
Yeah, and speaking of the prison things, I was just reading about this 23-year-old who was about to be released from prison, and he ended up getting stabbed to death in the jail that he was in the day prior, and I'm trying to find the exact story here, but it basically said that Alabama over the last 10 years or maybe 15 years has seen the largest increase, almost like 100% increase in murders among those that are incarcerated.
Yeah, stats are bad.
It's gone like through the roof.
Right.
And that was part of the DOJ's lawsuit against the state was how dangerous it is in Alabama. And if you look at some of the comments, of course, you know, you can only take Facebook comments and Twitter comments. You have to take it with a grain of salt. Because
pound of salt.
Yeah, anybody could be lying about that. But some of the responses I saw to that story were people who either knew those that have been in the Department of or who had been in a corrections facility across the state, or they themselves had been in jail, and they said from that perspective, sometimes it's scary. One person was saying that they kept asking to be moved from their block to another because people were after them, and they just weren't being heard from the COs there at the prison. So there's been like some specific instances where people say, yeah, the prison system is a huge issue. And then taking it to the state level, the legislature was upset with Ivey's plan and really haven't moved on it at all this session. Crazy.
Right. That's one thing I would look for in a special session before, but I think they may take a bite at the gaming apple.
I mentioned the Gulf Coast Hot Air Balloon Festival coming up. I think it kind of got started last night, but today really day one. And CB Carl will be in one of those balloons, and he joins us here on Mobile Mornings. Hey, CB Carl, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. So are you in the balloon yet? Are you in the basket?
No, we just packed ours up. We did a static display this morning at OWA, which means we just blew them up and showed off all the pretty colors.
So,
and, We're hoping we'll be able to get up fly this afternoon and this evening. They only fly in the morning and the evening time because of the winds.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot going on there besides that. But it was quite a show this morning. A lot of balloons. Last night they had some come up because it was a little windy. All we did was what they call a candle sticking, where we just sat out there and blew the torch. Like Sean, made the noise Sean made.
So are you, when you fly,
yeah, come over, man. It's a lot of fun. A lot of. I think I sent you the picture of Hagar the Horrible last night, didn't I?
Yeah. I was just checking that out in my email. So when you fly, when you go up, you're not staying tethered to the ground, right? You're going up there.
We work for a pilot. We're a crew.
Yeah.
So the balloon we're in only takes the pilot and one person.
Okay.
But we don't tether. The balloon we crew for doesn't tether because they get paid extra for tethering because they charge for that, but it's a little hard on the balloon.
So if someone out there is wanting to get out and see the balloons this weekend, maybe me with my two-year-old, when do you think is the best time to see the most flying balloons?
Probably for you coming over and you got your place down in Orange Beach, probably the evening. I think I sent you the schedule, but the evening they fly and do the glows at evening time. I think it's about 6 o'clock or so.
Okay. Very cool.
Then they'll have the what they try to do is they weather permitting with the wind and all. They launch to they'll usually go somewhere else and launch the balloons and have them fly over the rest of the festival.
See me, Carl. When you talk about packing up this morning, I've packed and unpacked many tents in my life many times. Okay, but I got to picture the amount of cloth there.
I'd say about 100-fold. I've done a lot of tents myself.
Is it a very big version of a tent? Do you fold it once in half and then? Lengthwise?
What you got is they got this big, expensive bent pipe that one person gets on either side, and you walk down, squeeze all the air out of it, and then somebody goes behind you, putting Velcro straps on it, and then you kind of do a serpentine thing where you just load it all. It's in a big, giant bag.
Hmm.
So then you got to shove it all inside that bag. And my pilot's wife is very particular about how we get it all put together.
What do you tow that thing in? I mean, will it fit? It won't fit in the bed of a truck.
Yeah. Well, the baskets. We've got the basket, the frame, and it's all in the back of a big pickup truck.
Wow.
Yeah, it packs in there. I mean, you got a gas powered fan to blow the balloon up before you put heat on it, and then you put heat on it. It's quite a project. It's fun to watch them. You know. That's how I got involved in it. I volunteered, and next thing you know, I'm hooked on it.
Well, have a great time this weekend, CB Carl, and hopefully I and many others will be able to come down and see you.
Come see us. It's a lot of fun.
All right. CB Carl, the Gulf Coast Hot Air Balloon Festival, today, tomorrow, and Sunday. And we'll come back and take your calls, 343-0106. Your thoughts on what's gone down in Goat Hill over the last week, especially last night, medical marijuana passes. And the gambling bill does not. So coming back, more Mobile Mornings on the way. AM 825, you're listening to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And look at that. Mobile Mornings is a nominee in the Nappies this year. I think we've won Best Morning Show...
A lot of times.
It's been a lot of times in a row. It's like we're reaching some Nick Saban levels here.
It's a legacy, yes.
Would love to stretch that lead a little bit here. So would appreciate your votes. VoteNappies.com. I believe we have through May 23rd.
Yeah, go in the media section, mm-hmm. and you'll see the multiple categories our shows are in.
Yeah, and I have them memorized. Best FM radio station.
Yeah.
Best morning show. Best talk show hosts. And we have four in that category. Also, best sports show and best DJ voice. And that's Sean Sullivan and Dan Brennan going head to head in that one. So
the problem we have here is we have to we have to fight against each other, mm-hmm. like splitting the vote thing. But so just vote early and often. We appreciate that. VoteNappies.com. And we'll keep reminding y'all, because I have to remind, sometimes I get like by midway through the nappies, I go, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. crud. I got to.
Yeah, I forget all the time, too. I'm bad about that. Let's go to the phone lines, 343-0106. And Joel, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning, Sean. I ain't talked to you in a while, Dalton.
Hey.
This lottery is just stupid to me and gambling. I'm pretty much like Trump Jr. said, if we're going to open the door to any gambling, why the hell not open it up to world-class resorts being brought into this state? Could you imagine the money, the hotels?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're going to do it, well, why beat around the bush? It's the most stupidest lawmakers we've ever got. I don't know.
I mean, if the idea is, Joe, and I've been talking about this the whole time, last year, year before when it came up, if the idea they're going to sell us is, we got to do this because look at all the revenue we get for the state, okay, then make it a system where people bid the most number of dollars for the most number of facilities to do this and get the most number for the state.
Donald Trump's got such a support here in Alabama. He'd love to be one to come here and open up a world-class resort. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me. They're cutting the lawmakers that are doing this are cutting themselves and the state of Alabama short on this end of this deal. And it's just like the bridge. It's just, I don't know. I can't believe some of these people are in office, though. But y'all have a great weekend. Love listening to y'all, man.
Thank you, Joel.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it.
Go ahead.
So when they rolled out the competition for the casinos,
uh-huh.
and they named the number of different places where you could have them, the standing dog tracks, the uh-huh. casinos already held by Porch Band of Creek Indians. So when they said that they would get the right to have the final bid, the people who currently hold the property, right?
They
would
get the right. This is worth saying here because people may not have known this part of the law.
So anyone could bid on the casino properties, but they would leave it to whoever owns that property now. They would get the final bid, the way I understood it. And to me, in my pebble-like mind, when I read that, I was like, oh, that's great. So if MGM wants to come in here, better than just, not having any competition
okay.
at all.
I think it's even worse. But
when you came in and said that, then, I started to kind of change my mind and think about it differently. But the way I thought was, okay, great. If MGM sees or Sands, one mm-hmm. of these huge companies sees the dog track at Theodore and says, that could be a huge moneymaker for me right down there on mm-hmm. Mobile Bay. We are willing to bid more than anyone else and much more. Well, how much could the current person company with the right of refusal, how much could they bid against MGM? But you're saying it's not as good a deal as I thought.
Okay, so let's walk through this. So they say, yes, you can bid. You can have another company come in and bid on that facility. They come in, and when they make their final bid, the players being the Legacy Dog Track folks or the Porch Band of Creek Indians can bid a dollar more and get it. And at the same time, Legacy Dog Track people already own the infrastructure. If you're MGM or whoever come in, you've got to then negotiate to buy that infrastructure that the other entity has already paid for. Why would you? No, you're never going to lose. It's a fake. It's fake competition.
It's
not real competition.
834 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios and Mother's Day weekend. And I think most mothers would be happy with a new or pre-owned vehicle from McConnell Automotive. I think you can take care of that this week for them.
That's right. We can do that. I want to wish all the mothers out there a great Mother's Day. And looks like the weather's going to be great. We're going to be here on Saturday. And have a little barbecue here. We're going to have fun. We got a bunch of cars. Y'all can check those out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got any questions on anything on the website, call Gene or I or Robert, 251-476-4141. We are getting a few trucks in from General Motors just about daily here lately. And fortunately for us, most of them are sold. But, I mean, if y'all want to give us a buzz, if you're looking for that X31 or diesels or even the Yukons. I mean, they're straggling in here, but we've got one came in the other day that was not sold, and it was sold about an hour later. So they're going quick, but come see us. We're in beautiful Midtown on Dolphin Street, east of I-65. It's McConnell Automotive.
All right. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And check him out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, David asking on the text line. David, I had the same thought. I don't have an answer for it. What if the winning bidder happens to be an outside company on one of the properties and the current property owner refuses to sell or lease the property to the winning bidder? I'd asked this, and how many times I ask questions of our legislators, and they'll be like, yeah, I don't know that. So the ice is getting thin because this is just me guessing at this point that you would be able to buy in that zone. I don't think it has to have the physical footprint of the current building. I think it would just have to be in that area. But David, I don't know that, so I'll back off of that. That's just a wag for me.
Let's do a little guessing and try to figure this out.
Let's just make some stuff up. We'll be like all the other shows.
I'm not saying make stuff up, but maybe come up with some ideas because clearly they can't come up with an idea that works for everyone.
Oh, I got good ideas.
So what if they legalized casino gaming and let anyone, if they had the money, build a casino wherever they wanted and charge the legacy owners a lower tax than you do anyone that comes in? What's wrong with that idea? So you give the people that currently who have been in the state for a long time, legacy dog track owners.
Yes, operating illegally. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if we can't get everybody on the same page, wouldn't a discount be be something that would maybe get everyone to agree that, bring in other casinos and we'll just pay a lower freight? Is that a bad idea?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not as bad, but it's not perfect. I want an even playing field. Here's the problem. So you could say the best way to do this would be to shake the heck out of the Etch-a-Sketch, right? Start over again. Mm-hmm. But you can't start over again because legacy interests have control of votes in Montgomery. You're getting a real good lesson in how things go down. People think everything is... They'll be like, oh, yeah, they're taking payoff. Like, it's like everybody thinks there's garbage bags full of money being handed. It doesn't work exactly like that. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing an example of influence and the flex of influence going on right now because you have to, you have to get a majority or sometimes a supermajority. And it just takes, and when you have a small number of state legislators, you don't have to get that many before you can block things. And then those state legislators are doing what they're supposed to do for the constituents, right? And let me say this too: if you're somebody, if you're a legislator, like you're Smitherman or one of those state legislators that is trying to work a deal for a legacy dog track area, I get it because you're trying to get the best deal for your constituents,
right? Yeah.
Even though it's not the best deal for the state, And the problem is we're not starting off with no gambling going on and building from there. We have these little carve-outs and these little duchies of how this is working. The best system would be you start from the word go. Nobody has a distinct advantage over anybody else. I would push that you would have a constitutional amendment to make gambling legal, to make gambling not illegal in the state. And then county by county... And within that, maybe municipality by municipality, make a decision whether to have a casino there or not. The state can set the license fee to have a casino at, it's your business license to operate in the state. And that's upfront cash dollars to the state of Alabama. Then they want to make the tax on it 20%, 25%, 23%. They bounce all these numbers around. They make the tax there. The businesses can then... look at a location, do like if we were opening any other business. What's the traffic count? How many rooftops are nearby?
Put those little strips out on the road so you can see how many people are driving over it.
Right. Do whatever their formula is to figure out the best place. Then they would go and try to buy property, commercial property there, where they could build something and negotiate. Then they would start that. And then the ones that people say, well, I don't want a casino on every corner. I don't either, y'all. I don't gamble. Okay, and I want a casino on every corner, but the marketplace will keep there from being a casino on every corner because if this state, if the people who tell me that they don't gamble, the number of people who tell me they never gamble, if they're being honest with me, there's not enough business for there to be a casino on every corner in this state, correct?
Yeah, correct. But, you know, what we might not get if they did pass this through last night, the way it was positioned, where, you know, the legacy owners get their casinos, Porch Band of Creek Indians, you end up with what, was 9 the final number that they worked out to?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, if
they're trying to get a 12, but I think it's stated.
If there's no competition, then there's not as much incentive to make the casino as nice as possible, right?
So even a gambling utility is what it is.
Even if you don't like gaming and you don't like going out and playing, you know, blackjack or video poker or whatever, you would probably like at least the entertainment that a big time casino, if it was making the money that.
But do you have to like it at all? There's all kind of things that go on that I'm not into and I don't like, but people have the right to. That's their thing. I don't have to go participate.
And that's kind of what I was reminded of these last few weeks and months when you hear some of the arguments that are put out there by state legislators that it's almost like they're either ignorant or willfully ignorant of what's actually happening here in the real world. Whether it's medical marijuana, that debate, which ended up passing last night, to act like the people that don't want to smoke marijuana aren't already smoking. Now, if it was legalized recreationally, of course,
there could be more people who smoke marijuana.
There would be, right.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
And
but,
if you try to pretend it's not, you're also not telling the truth.
Exactly. So to pretend that there aren't illegal, you know, cannabis buys happening around the state hourly, that's ignorant. And to act like people aren't going across state lines or even staying inside the state and playing the lottery or playing casino games online or sports gambling online, to act like that's not already happening is also like willfully ignorant.
Right.
So it's always surprising to me.
Okay, let's be fair. Will more people, if we had legalized casino gaming in the state, would more people gamble? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, because they don't have to go. It's on the way home. It's whatever, you know, whatever would tempt you to go there. You don't have to make a special trip. So there would be more people gamble. But if you want to keep it out of the way I would see it, now this is not going to happen because, like we told you, these legacy interests and these people that are entrenched and control certain blocks of voting going on in the House and Senate. But if it wasn't for them, the county can decide, you know, you can go, you know, we don't want that in our county.
Yeah.
We don't want that. Okay. Then you would say no. And that's cool. You don't have it. And then this county over here says, yeah, we're cool with it. Then they would say, okay, well, we have three licenses for sale in the county or whatever. And those companies could decide whether they want to come in there or not. But when you do what we're talking about here, which is not going to happen, at least unless something in a special session happens, you're in a situation where you would have people have no competitive incentive, like Dalton said, to make it any better. They wouldn't have a... You know, one has, they've got the Duran Duran tribute band, and this other one has the dang dolphin show, and this one has a Chihuahuas riding motorcycle show, and they're going to do the Motley Crue is coming there. Whatever, they're going to try to make it better to compete or maybe make it pay out better or however they do the gambling. That's a competitive market. We're setting up a system, if that had passed, that it's almost a disincentive. Might as well just pull profit. Because there's no reason to risk capital to try to compete because you don't have to compete.
It would be like if only one convenience store in each county was allowed to sell alcohol.
Yeah.
They were the only convenience store allowed to sell beer and wine. You wouldn't have the I don't think they would go all out to encourage people to come into their specific store and cut prices. Right. They would just have it laid out. It wouldn't be the best convenience store in the county. Right. Or in the state because there's no incentive.
Like, right. Why would you spend the money and do all the razzle dazzle?
Yeah.
If you could just say, you want the thing, we know you want the thing, here it is.
It's so funny the snail's pace that the legislature works at when they want to or even when they don't want to. But watching last night the, you know, minute by minute reporting on what was happening with the gaming bill, and I saw so they reworked their schedule last night,
right,
and took gambling off of the schedule for a time. This was after the medical marijuana bill passed. And then they put all of the other stuff that hadn't made it through yet on the schedule. And I think it was Chandler with the Associated Press, Kim Chandler, who said and she was focused on the transgender bill that was like at the very end, something about I don't think it was – maybe it was the transgender surgery.
Yeah, well, it's the medical side of it, the puberty blockers, and
So she and others were worried that they would get to that. It appeared that they were worried that the Republicans would get their hands on that bill. So she said, if it would take them debating 12 minutes each bill in order to get to that by midnight last night. And the first one up after the break was the daylight saving time bill.
Right.
And they had already spent 30 minutes debating like one of the easiest bills to get through. So there was no chance they were going to get to that.
Yeah, the sun set on the session and they were.
And I'd say probably no chance gaming gets done. By the end of regular session, either.
Yeah, not in regular session. Also, heads up here, going on tomorrow, the Common Sense Campaign has their annual Tax Day rally. That starts at 11:30 at the Fowl River Community Center. If you go to commonsensecampaign.org, that website has more information, a flyer there with a map link. Hamburgers and hot dogs will be provided, both hamburgers and hot dogs provided free of charge. Speakers include Congressman Jerry Carl, who joined me yesterday on Midday Mobile. He was on the border. They're just a little bit east of San Diego. Really, we're going to put some of these pictures up, too, on our website. He sent me amazing pictures. He's going to be there tomorrow, and State Auditor Jim Ziegler will be there as well. That's all coming up tomorrow, Common Sense Campaign, their annual Tax Day rally.
All right, that's good. Coming back, you know, the big argument from Democrats is Republicans try to keep transgender male to female athletes out of female sports. The big argument is, well, that's not actually happening anywhere.
Nobody's trying to do that, right?
Yeah, except for the Olympics, where we could see the first openly transgender athlete. We'll get to that coming back. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk.
I thought it didn't happen.
Oh, no, it's fake. The GOP is making all this up, except for in the Olympics, right? Kane, 851, FM Talk 106.5, and Dalton has 9 minutes left in the work week. Sean Sullivan has 9 minutes and a few hours left in the work week.
More than that until we wrap up late this afternoon. Can I add something?
Please.
I know this is not directly on subject, but I just had one of my epiphanies. Just had a vision come to me. I was sitting out there, and just a vision came to me. So a story from yesterday as well is moving the tobacco and vaping age to 21. Moving at 21. And in an attempt to keep kids from smoking, right? And getting it, and I'm on board the net outcome. I don't want the much as I'm railing against the stupid menthol thing and trying to eliminate the grape cigars and all this stuff, I don't want kids to smoke either. I think the best way to keep kids from smoking is to not raise the smoking age.
But enforce the laws?
No, the heck with it. I've been trying to get people to enforce the laws of the land and do that for, let's lower it.
Lower it.
Lower the smoking age to 12.
You'll have a lot fewer 12. Illegal smokers out there.
Fewer legal smokers. But if you came through, if I'm a state legislator right now and I'm trying to get attention, I believe in this, and I do believe, I don't want kids on any of this stuff. I'm going to move to make it 12. And in doing that, I'm going to shock the parents so much out there. If they're worried starting at 12 that kid could get to it, they're going to reinforce why it's bad, the dangers of it, staying on their case, all these things.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like, it's almost if you make it 19, 21, it's, well, that's when they're out of the house.
Right.
When they're in my house, they're not smoking about it. You would become a tyrant about smoking if all of a sudden they moved the law to 12 years old and you knew your children could get a pack of smokes. Little Johnny at 12 could get him some Marlboro.
The stresses of seventh grade, man.
Big time.
Well, that sounds like a good plan to me.
Shock
because
the system,
rather than acting to your 13-year-old like cigarettes aren't a real thing, you're right. If they could go down the street and buy some, you'd be like, hey, look at this guy's lungs.
Yeah, I'd be bringing lungs in and putting them on the kitchen table
and
showing.
The 21 thing, it's just like the argument with alcohol. If you're 18, you can serve for your country. You can go overseas and die. You could be a 20-year-old with a 5-year-old in tow.
Correct.
That's yours and not legally be allowed to buy nicotine products. I'm not saying they're good or that anyone should do it.
No, it's the liberty to make bad choices.
So what's next? 24, 25?
That's what I'm saying.
Will it be illegal for me, a 29-year-old, to buy, you know, something out of the store that I want?
Not if I have
the next session.
No, not if I. No, sure. If you wanted to bring a shock to the system and get people's attention, which I would want to get the conversation with kids going about, do not touch this stuff. It is highly addictive. Let's move it to 12. This is why I could never get elected.
Then we would get all the kids crossing state lines from Louisiana
They'd be on the bicycles, popping wheelies, coming in from Mississippi to buy them some smokes.
Yeah, we'd say, how do you like it? We have our people crossing state lines to buy your stuff. Now your kids are coming over here to buy their Newports. Great idea.
Newport. The kids on the Huffy bicycle coming in popping wheelies to get them some Newports. Now we're talking.
Let's go to the phone lines. Maybe David can save us here. David, you want to talk gambling or 13-year-olds that are smoking cigarettes?
Well, both. I'm going to get right down there in the muck with you. I'm going to say if the government did lower the smoking age to 12, the minimum smoking age in my house would be the day you move out of my house.
And that's what it is for. But what I'm getting at is that you don't address it because it, you know, as much because it's that the rule is you're not going to smoke while you're in my house. Well, let's. How about if there's a danger of them legally being able to smoke, you would be tackling it earlier, I think, if there was a worry that they could start getting smokes at 12.
Yeah. Real quickly on this gambling thing, I'm going to throw a hypothetical at you that's going to throw a monkey wrench into the whole thing. Let's say I'm MGM. I look at that Theodore property, and I think it's worth a $500 million fee for my license for that property. I'm the winning bidder. The Porch Creeks don't bid a dollar over what I think, and so I'm the winning bidder. I have the license for the gambling at that location. Well, the Porch Creeks have Atmore an hour away, and they don't want me to have a casino anywhere close to Mobile. So they just choose not to sell me the property. What happens then?
And I wonder if you couldn't move the footprint within the. And I don't know this, but. You would imagine that they would say, okay, well, you can move you'd have to go next door. But the problem is, if they know you have to go next door, a very small area, if I'm the property owner next door, I just raise my price big time.
Hmm.
Exactly. Well, not only that, but, these licenses are specific to these properties. And if I'm MGM and I can't buy the property, I'm not paying the state of Alabama $500 million for the right of gambling for a property I can't get, I can't own.
That's why this is not competitive. When they came out and said, well, we've made it competitive now, and I laughed about it a couple of weeks ago. I said, no, you hadn't. It's not. It's fake competition.
We've made it competitive. We'll just let this person start 100 yards ahead in the race. It's kind of what
exactly.
It was like.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I don't pay for the license, then the next bidder who maybe have a $100 million bid on it wins, and the Porch Creek's a bid a dollar over that, they get the license. Guess what? I'm turning around and I'm suing the state of Alabama. I'm suing the Porch Creek Indians. I'm suing everybody because for anti-competitive and anti-business practices.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, David, for the call.
So I'm still really interested in kids smoking at 12.
Yeah, in the casinos.
I can't wait to see that. Sullivan calling for...
Is that a...
Will that make the weekend news?
Is that 13-year-old playing penny slots over there smoking a cigarette?
I'm going to move... every time they try to move an age of something forward, I'm going to...
Drop it another year.
I'm going to push for some kind of bill to move it younger.
We'll have to see what Jeff Poor's take is on lowering the nicotine age to 12.
Oh, he's had it with me.
He has the newsmakers on today. State Representative Wes Allen will be on in the first hour with Jeff Poor. He just announced his candidacy for Alabama Secretary of State. Also, State Representative Mike Ball, who was ecstatic yesterday when the medical marijuana bill passed through the legislature. And then wrapping it up, State Senator Chris Elliott will be on the show, and he has a lot to say, I'm sure, about the last week of what's been going on in Montgomery.
Quick traffic note here. Keith on the text line, 65 southbound. Traffic is basically stopped around exit 15. That's the Celeste Road exit. So that if you're heading into Mobile coming from, you just pulled on there from 43, you're heading south, something like that. If you're on 65 southbound, traffic stopped at the Celeste Road exit. We'll get more information on that during the Jeff Poor Show.
All right. I'll be back next week. Sean, you'll be back in a few hours.
Yeah. Midday Mobile coming up at noon. Danny Lipford joins me, hour number one, talking about lumber prices.